Collectors, let's talk about the real villain in your collection. It's not Dr. Doom, it's the dreaded box stack. You know the one, piles of sagging boxes, and the issue you need is always in the bottom box. When you lift, you pray your spine survives. If your comic boxes are stacked like a game of Jenga, it's time for Drawer Boxes, the easy access storage solution from CollectionDrawer.com. Drawer Boxes are stackable up to 6 high, but you don't have to unstack anything to get inside. Just slide out the drawer and you're opening a treasure chest of comic glory. And just like any file cabinet drawer, they'll hang open on the own while you peruse your collection, thanks to their patented box locks box anchors that secure each unit so that they won't tip. Worried about a drawer slipping out and dumping that near mint run of Ultimate Spider-Man on the floor? Not a chance, but their patented locking tabs that keep drawers securely locked into their shell until you're ready to remove them. Let's talk box sort upright dividers. They keep your comics standing tall, sorted by title, issue, era, whatever you like, and make it easy to file. No more leaning stacks causing spine cracks. So ditch the lifting, ditch the chaos. Drawer boxes turn your collection into a library, not a workout. Visit CollectionDrawer.com and start enjoying your collection today. Doesn't your first Deadpool appearance deserve better than being buried in a cardboard coffin?
What is up, everyone? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And Alex is out. That's how you know Woo-hoo-hoo. Things are going. It's the end of summer. Woo-hoo. Everyone's living their lives.
Yeah.
Great to be here at Comic Book Club. How you feeling, Pete?
Hey, man. Doing all right, bro. How you doing?
I'm doing great. We are coming at you on a StreamYard where we meet. If you want to join us on here, in our, you can get in the comments. You can give us a question. It's great. Come find us on here. We're also on Facebook. We're on YouTube. We're on Twitch. We're on Kick. We're on Kick. We're kicking it on Kick with the real ones out there. And, of course, we are on LinkedIn talking to all the CEOs right in their brains. What's up, gang? What's up, Walton
family? Somebody get Alex a job. I mean, come on.
Yeah, we all need jobs. That's why we're on LinkedIn. I've made so many strong connections in our time on LinkedIn. Great to be here. Hope you're all doing well at the end of summer. Everyone's getting loose. Yes, Jared Sloan, it's a free-for-all night. Heck yeah, that's right. Daddy's away. He's left the Ferrari.
Fire
in
it
the,
up, Jared Sloan. Come on.
The keys are in the Ferrari, and we are here to drive real fast in this car that we don't know how to drive. I'm coming at you from not Brooklyn, not upstate New York. Ooh. I am in Maine, on the coast of Maine.
Like my wife's
Maine
doing a
show up
yes,
here, so I'm up here.
Yes, I do.
Eating and drinking weird stuff. I'm exposed to very cold water. We went to a beach. The sand was pebbles, and the water was cold. It's different up here.
That's fun. I don't know if that's fun.
It is fun. It's oh, very okay. fun. So let's get into the show, though. We have a very exciting guest to bring you out here. He's a writer of a new comic coming out tomorrow, a new slash one you've heard of before.
Old school favorite. It's an old fan favorite.
Definitely. It's part of the Valiant Beyond relaunch. He is the writer of Tales of the Shadow Man. Please welcome out AJ Ampadu,
hey,
everybody.
Hey, welcome. Welcome. Great to have you.
Hey, guys. I love the energy. This is so great.
Cool, nice. Man. Welcome to the show.
Great to have you here. So let's talk Shadow Man. This is a character that we were talking before the show. Valiant in the 90s was like such a crazy spin. Like, comics are at, like, peak popularity. Valiant was just, like, the new kid on the block. It's been sort of, like, in and out of popularity over the years. And now it's back with a brand new sort of relaunch. Tell us about the book and what Valiant Beyond sort of is.
Yeah. Okay, so I just want to give a little context to my own personal Valiant story, and I don't know if you're going to ask me this later, but I started off as a fan of Valiant in the 90s. I was a teenager, one of my favorite comics was Ryan the Future Force. I remember I was really into X-Men and a lot of the Image stuff at the time, and one of my buddies, he introduced me to Valiant, and I was looking at things like Turok and Exo Manowar, and there was just an intricacy to those characters and the design. And I also realized that there was a lot of body type. I used different body types that a lot of the traditional superheroes, the way they were drawn at the time. And it made sense for like Solar Man and the Atom to be slender, you know, it fit the character. And I just was so accustomed to seeing big, bulky chest superheroes. It just was visually different. The character seemed very interesting and unique. And I got sucked in as a fan in the 90s. Yeah. So fast forward all the way to until now, as my journey from fan to writer, I always wanted to write for Valiant. You know, I had been in contact with the team from Valiant for several years, pitching different story ideas and trying to get my way into the industry. And when I finally got the opportunity, big shouts to Lisa Hawkins for giving me that opportunity. I knew that I had to do something special and different. And I started off with Ninjak versus Roku, which I'm really proud of. Love that storyline.
Yeah.
And when I got an opportunity to write Shadow Man, I jumped at it because horror, dark fantasy, it's kind of like my thing. It's like one of my favorite things. One of my books that I've written independently, Dragon Face, is a horror kind of dark
Dragon
fantasy.
Dragon Face.
Yeah.
Pete is lit up. Lit up by Dragon
Face.
Sick
title, dude.
Thank you. Appreciate it. So, yeah, I jumped at the opportunity. Shadow Man, yes. You had me at Shadow. ultimately, like, it was interesting because there's a lot of pressure. And we'll talk about the pressure that, you know, writing for Valiant, you know, is right now. But there's a lot of pressure to take this character that I had read as a kid. And I remember Shadow Man with the blue mask and the motorcycle jacket and the long curly hair and Jack Boniface playing the saxophone. Like, those images still stood out to me. And I was like, if I write this character, I have to do it right. Like, I have to do it justice. So the first opportunity I had was to write the Shadow Man Soul Eater storyline, 4-issue miniseries that ran concurrently with the Resurgence storyline that came out last year. And that was a lot of fun because I got to dive deeper into voodoo mythology, and I started reading up on New Orleans history, and I wanted to make it feel authentic. People who read that storyline, there's a whole scene where they eat food, like food keeps coming up, and I talked to a lot of my Haitian friends and people who were from that area. I wanted the food to be authentic because all of that is super important to what it means to be a superhero in New Orleans, right? So coming to Valiant Beyond, this is an opportunity for us to kind of start fresh and start new. And how do you do that? How do you take the old and make it feel new and fresh again? We didn't want to just redo Shadow Man again. Obviously, this Valiant Beyond universe is different than previous iterations of Valiant. So we want to bring back certain elements while adding new ones, right? So that was the challenge when I went into the creative bubble and tried to craft a story. The best thing that I can say that Alien did was give me a 12-issue storyline, because that's a lot of real estate.
For that's some space. Yeah, you can run. No,
absolutely. And, you know, it's been a complaint for a lot of Valiant fans that the storylines haven't been going on for long enough. You know, maybe it'll be a 3-issue storyline, a 4-issue storyline here. And that can be very frustrating if you want to see continuity. You know, superhero comics have always had, you know, high numbers. Back in the day, they used to go up to 300, right?
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah.
So this is an...
Well, real quick, before you jump off, like, sure. I do think it is crazy. Like, I feel like for a long time, it was like 6-issue arcs. And then lately, it's shrunk to 5, and now 4 feels like is where it's settling in. And I think that's, like you're saying, comics are about the length. It's about setting the little traps that you come to 10 issues later, like the classic Chris Claremont-style X-Men, where it's like, 50 issues later, it's paying off something that happened before. So, like, I really feel that as, like, 12 issues is such a nice area to really play in.
It's a great number. And 12, it's 12 issues, but it's 4 story arcs broken up into 3 issues each. So there will be, they will reset with new number ones. But let's be honest, that's just a marketing thing.
Right.
It's a 12-issue storyline. Right. And, you know, people just love number ones. Comic book fans, they just love number ones. So for me, what's in a number, right? But I can tell you that we're planning 12-issue storylines that we're going to see through to the end. And, I mean, who knows what's going to happen after that. But I can tell you that I've crafted it in a way where things that happen in the first couple issues will pay off in issue 9, 10, and 11. I can promise there's a lot of surprises for Valiant fans of old and new. I know there are people specifically with Shadow Man. There's people who are huge fans of the video game franchise.
I was going to say.
Right. There's people who are huge fans of the Acclaim era Shadow Man. There's lots of people who are fans of the original 90s era Shadow Man and the 2012 version of Shadow Man. There are, I'm on a lot of the message boards, and there's huge groups of fans who champion each generation of Shadow Man. So how do you do that?
How do you scoop all that up? There are a lot of pools, and I feel like Shadow Man also, through all those iterations, there's a pretty deep mythology and a lot of areas to play in. So, like, you're coming into a big world. What's your entry point?
Yeah, what's your take?
That's a great question. It's both challenging and very rewarding because I have so much that I can pull from. Mm-hmm. But it can also be overwhelming. It's like taking a sip of water from a fire hose, right? How do you pull that off, right?
That's how I drink any bit of water that comes in the system. So I get it. It's hard every day.
Just get as much in your face as possible.
That's so true.
So to answer your question, the first thing I did was read. I read, I had already read a bunch of Shadow Man, but I just went back and I reread everything from the classic Shadow Man to the claim era Shadow Man to the new stuff. And I kind of picked and chose, but whatever vibe with me as a writer, I kind of, tucked it away. And then I kind of had like a map of all the characters that I wanted to bring back, the situations, the locations that I wanted to bring back. But I also knew that this has to be different. This has to not be the same Shadow Man story again. So yeah. I don't know, just quick, the quick pitch essentially is Shadow Man lives in the Dead Side, and traditionally the Dead Side is this nether realm where dark spirits, ghosts and even people reside in. And Shadow Man's kind of been the protector between our world and the Dead Side. That still exists in this version, but the difference is that the Dead Side is now physiologically in our world. So the state of Louisiana is essentially the Dead Side. And we're going to find out why that happened and how that happened later on. But New Orleans is protected by a barrier called the Glass Curtain. And it's essentially a utopian city within this walled off city. And it's kind of like the magical capital of the world, where magic users and people of magical origins from all over the world have come to seek refuge just because it's protected and it's safe. So you have this now geographical barrier between the Dead Side and New Orleans. And Shadow Man actually lives in the Dead Side. And yeah.
That's what we're seeing here, I think, on the pages, certainly, for those of you watching.
Right, certainly. And thank you for putting those graphics up. And this version of Shadow Man is completely consumed by the Lua. So previous versions of Shadow Man was a different character would bond with the Shadow Lua and become Shadow Man. But he was a human who kind of bonded with this this voodoo spirit. But this version of Shadow Man, he's one. The voodoo spirit and whoever the person is one entity. So he's more like the boogeyman or, a dark spirit than, a superhero who, becomes the Shadow Man or whatnot. Once again, a lot of this is shrouded in mystery for a purpose. And a lot of these questions that, fans may have will be answered. And we've done a lot of planning, and a lot of these things hopefully will pay off for fans of the series as they read.
Well, I tell you what, as someone who's a fan, I love this. I really dove in and had a great time. I'd love to talk to you more about like the look of Shadow Man, because we saw a lot of different Shadow Men over the years. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your artists and how you kind of came up with your Shadow Man and like what were you going for, because I love the look of him. He's kind of got this kind of like elongated face a little bit, and it's really cool looking.
He looks very, without a lack of a better word, he looks metal to me. I got sent, when we were working on the story, I was sent a couple different versions of the new Shadow Man. Mm-hmm. And this was the one that I just liked the most. He has this kind of cool long jacket. We got the Shadow Man logo in there, which is essential. One of the coolest superhero logos ever. He has this kind of skull mask, which he's always had, but this one was kind of different because it kind of reminded me of like the West African mask, the way they're shaped.
Right.
And it's longer at the top and stuff like that. Almost kind of has these like devil horns. Yeah. The whole design was really cool. And the way that the initial sketch that I was sent, there was kind of like the shadowy smoke kind of lurking from beneath his jacket. And I ended up folding that into this version of Shadow Man, where now he can kind of make tangible shadows. And he cool. actually uses that right away at the beginning of this issue, because he kind of like, they kind of become like spider legs and he walks with yeah. it. I just wanted to give him this really cool, creepy, you know, ability. And actually, he has a lot of abilities that previous Shadow men have not had. That's another thing that I wanted to change.
Nice.
I would say I gave him a bit of a power upgrade. so his weapon, the Shadow Scythe, is something that he's always had. But now this one particularly, it can change shape. He can make it small. He can make it very large. It can also, it can disrupt magic and incantations. So spells, protective barriers, those types of things, yes. the scythe literally just cuts right through it. So that's like his main, you know, weapon, offensive and defensive weapon. I also mentioned that he can kind of control tangible shadows. He can slip in and out of shadows, which is something that Shadow Man always could do.
Yes.
So he still has that power. But we kind of elevated that power a bit too, where he can actually slip in out of the shadows of people's minds. Woo-hoo! So that yeah. is, you know, what is a mind shadow? Well, it's a dark memory, you know, trauma, anything like that inside the recesses of your mind. He can actually teleport into that shadow and view and get a viewpoint of it. So we kind of wow. just took the things that Shadow Man could do before and kind of expanded. Another thing he can do is when somebody's close to the brink of death, he can convert their soul into a shadow. So that is something that plays in. I'm giving you guys a lot of information, but
yeah, this is great.
Trust me, it's just the tip of the iceberg. Now, I just wanted to make him more of a, you know, I just wanted to give him some cooler powers. And I don't want to say that the other Shadow Men didn't have cool powers, but I just wanted to have fun with the character. So that's kind of like where we landed.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
That's awesome.
Man.
I do have questions of what turning a soul into a shadow means, but maybe it's best left revealed later on.
Yeah, exactly. You got to read the book, exactly. man. You got to read mm-hmm. the book.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. Now, so let's talk Valiant Beyond real quick. It's been, this is the second title to come out for the line. It comes out tomorrow, mm-hmm. so definitely go pick it up tomorrow. Yeah.
Dude,
but I feel like, you know, just to touch on a little bit of controversy, there's the Bloodshot book has really... it's been a headline, and I wanted to see how that's affected you. I mean, it's crazy to have, like, your book, this whole line of books launch and sort of already get into sort of a tough spot, let's call it. I don't want to get into the underlying issue. We can talk about our opinions about that another time, but, like, I want to hear how it's affected you.
Certainly. Thank you for asking that question. In terms of the Bloodshot controversy, I just want to simply state, firstly, just because I think it's important that, you know, I denounce all forms of transphobia just yeah. as a person and as a creator myself.
Hell yeah.
I didn't write the Bloodshot comic. You know, my work is separate. But I completely understand why fans and creators are upset. Representation is super important. Comics should make all readers feel welcome. They should never make anybody feel less than. So anytime any piece of literature or media make somebody feel less than I think it's failed, right? And I think we can all agree, we can agree on that. You also know that Alien Books and Moral, the writer, they've apologized and pledged corrections. So accountability is super important. You know, there are people who that won't be enough for them, and that's totally understandable. But for other people, you know, at least actions have been taken to try and correct the mistake that was made. My position really is that I can only really speak for my work and my
yeah,
work
of course.
On Shadow Man specifically. And the other creators too at Valiant, you know, I think you're going to have Fred Van Lente and Steve Orlando on the show. Fred is
for
doing
sure.
Harbinger. Steve's yeah. doing EXO. Sometimes I feel like there's a lot of bad faith with the Valiant characters and how they've been handled. So when you couple that with the controversy that's happened, a lot of people are just like, oh my God, again with Valiant. And it kind of gets projected on everything. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to be here today, is because I just wanted to let people know that there's other things going on within the company. This is a mistake, but if you can potentially not let that project on the other, you know, books that we're doing, I think you might be richly rewarded. I think right now fans deserve good Valiant comics. You know, and I really want to reiterate that the Valiant fans, they deserve good Valiant comics. And a lot of those fans feel like they have not had that for quite some time for one reason or another. Valiant Beyond is our opportunity to try to correct that. And we stepped off on the wrong foot. And the only way we can make it better is if we try to move forward. And I guess that's really all I have I can really say about it.
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
That's good. I mean, like, the talking about, like, confronting a mistake like that is, you know, it's hard for people to do in this day and age. Everyone has, you know, mistake panic. And I feel like that's the kind of move that I feel like, at least I respect, being able to say, like, we're going to fix that. And for you to come on and say, like, hey, I want to say what I feel about that, even though that's, you know, that's not your lane to be in, because it's another person's whole work and it's about your work. So, like, I appreciate you saying that. That's not easy to do.
Yeah, no, it's not easy to do. And, you know, being a creator, a brand new creator, is always challenging. And being a brand new creator with a company with Valiant, where there's a lot of new fans who are really excited, but then there's a lot of fans who are scorned, you kind of already are starting from a negative. So it's like an uphill battle.
That's comics, baby. There's somebody's mad. Someone's mad.
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah.
Well, I really want to talk about Dragon Face, but first I want to you've got some amazing artwork on your wall there. I would love to.
Oh, yeah. That is like a comic I did like years ago. Me and my good friend Anwar here. Let me see if I can tilt my camera. Me and my good friend Anwar, that was a graphic novel that actually I released on Comixology back when Comixology was the thing. So real quick, I mean, here's Shadow Man, just for everyone to see. Shadow Man number one. I mentioned Dragon Face. So Dragon Face is my horror graphic novel. It's about a group of dark sorcerers whose magic is powered by the collective suffering of humanity.
Oh,
and
damn, dude.
A young detective has to unravel the mystery to liberate humanity by killing off this secret society one by one. Printed on washed out paper, or with a color washed out color palette, rather.
Wow.
With unfinished paper to kind of give it like an 80s horror aesthetic.
Yes, dude.
Yeah, so sick. This book is available on my website. You can check that out. That's earthtoneking.com. earthtoneking.com.
Oh, nice. I love
it. And then shameless plug, I also have my space fantasy book called Kimmy Cosmic. She's a space cowboy who has to unravel the mystery of her half alien heritage to face off against an evil corporation. And this is kind of like
cover.
Thank you, appreciate it. This is my all ages kind of like, you know, Pixar comic. It's equal parts a space cowboy comic, and it's got some space pirates in there and some space knights as well. So this comic's a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun working on that. So yeah. If you guys want to check those out, they're on my website, earthtoneking.com.
Yeah, man.
That's awesome.
Fantastic. That is really cool. I want to ask you more about this crazy cult in Dragon Face, but I'm almost scared to.
Well, it's like their currency is like the suffering of humanity, as I mentioned. So it's kind of like sometimes you wonder, like, why is the world so miserable, and why are people this way and that way? Well, what if somebody was directly profiting from that misery?
Oh my God.
Misery, and what if that
stressing you out?
Yeah, Dragon Face is pretty dark. Like I said, I've definitely toyed on the side of dark horror and fantasy. That's why Shadow Man, I'm excited, super excited to write it, because I've been able to kind of let loose in terms of horror. And I mean, if you guys read the first issue, there's a big page.
there's an image in there that I was like, oh, interesting, and I was like, whoa,
it's
don't spoil it, because it's a surprise.
Like, oh, I know what that is. No, yes. You don't.
Right. It was a bit of a fake out.
A little
strong.
Bit.
I would say call it a bit. It's a very strong rug pull. Then I would say it's hard to do a jump scare in comics. You got it.
Right.
You
right,
got the jump scare, and you did it.
Thank you.
And you set up what I'm assuming is the primary villain of at least the first arc in a way that I was like, oh yeah, I want to get this guy.
He ended up, well, actually I can spoil that just because it's okay. It's the first issue. Mr. Twist, and Mr. Twist was actually in the 2012 Shadow Man run. So we've seen this villain before in a previous iteration. This version is completely different, but also kind of similar. That's kind of like a preview of how I kind of approach the entire series. You're going to see characters you've seen before. Some of them are going to seem familiar at first, but there might be something about them that might be dramatically different. But ultimately, if you've never read any previous iteration of Shadow Man, they're just going to be new characters that are going to be properly introduced within the series. So you can just be self-contained there in that respect. So,
wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. I this might be a weird question, but you, do you write these things to get them out of your head because they're scary and fucked up? Or is this like... Are you ever?
No, he writes them to get them in your head, Pete. Oh, they're trying to get it in your head.
I mean, what if someone came up to you, kind of like, "Oh, I'm so glad that my cult's been recognized. Thank you so much." Or I mean, what the?
That's yeah, I know, right? I think we're in the age of elevated horror. I mean, you know, I just saw the movie Weapons and Together. There's so many like gnarly horror films. Like you can see Ari Aster's movies, like Hereditary and Midsommar and all this stuff. And horror was, when I was a kid, it was just about slasher and gore. Now it's about actually talking about the human condition and using the horror as an element to do that. So for people who can tolerate, there's a lot of rich storytelling that you can get into. So for instance, my wife,
Pete is not like one of those people.
Right. I was just going to mention my wife, she doesn't like horror. So she doesn't even really read a lot of my horror stuff. Like she likes me to tell her the story. Like if I go to see a horror movie, I'll tell her the story, but she doesn't want to actually sit there and watch it. She doesn't, that's not the type of entertainment.
Does she know the type of stuff that you're doing?
You know, I haven't, I don't think I should, you know what she saw? She walked in on that Shadow Man panel.
She was like, "What the fuck?
What are you doing, man?"
Yeah, so I don't know. Sometimes
you guys are still together, though, right? That's impressive. If she could make it past that,
that's what you think about. She says. I mean, I saw Weapons with my wife, who's normally not a horror movie person as well, but she got really keyed into the Weapons trailer, and so we went to this like theater and. Yeah, great trailer. We went to this theater in way upstate New York. It was just us in the theater for the beginning of the movie. It was like the theater was scary as hell. The seats all creaked. Anytime anyone moved, it was like it's terrified. But it was awesome. And I got to say, like, yes, horror is now like just a stem, I feel like. And it can go in so many different directions. Like Weapons is a great example of a movie that starts out a way and ends up in a very different way. And like that's the beauty of horror.
Previous film, Barbarian?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. I feel like that movie was also the same way, where it started off one way and ended up. There's so much you can do, not only with horror, but also surrealism. You know, rest in peace, David Lynch. He started that. But, you know, there's all the surrealist kind of movies. Like, I like movies like The Lobster
Where
you feel like you're in like a dream or a nightmare or something like that. Yeah. Everything's off, but the rules work within this twisted version of our reality. So that's a really cool genre as well.
100%. I mean, I feel like to talk Zach Kreger, he used to be in The Whitest Kids You Know, a guy that I think Pete and I both knew back in the day. Yeah. Timmy Williams on the show a bunch of times.
He
came out of sketch comedy and is now a hot horror director. So
that's crazy.
It's a wild.
Well, there's been some real comedy to horror legend.
It's a pipeline. It's a pipeline.
Yeah.
She got to turn the knob a couple gears, and you're all of a sudden tearing apart different pieces of people's bodies. cool. Before we let you go, AJ, is there anything else you want to plug? We got a little Dragon Face in here. Is there anything else you have coming up?
I talked about Dragon Face. I talked about Kimmy Cosmic. If you are in the New York City area, I'm going to be at Anime NYC Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. My booth, I think, is 124. Come find me. Tales of the Shadow Man, number one, out this week. Check it out.
Get it.
Get it, check it out.
Bring it to the booth, have them sign it, man. It'll be great.
Yeah, come bring it to the booth and I'll definitely sign it. I also have copies of my other previous Valiant work there too, for signing and whatnot. So and follow me on the socials. I'm Earthtone Kingdom, pretty much on everything. So just look me up. I'm on IG, Twitter, just got on Blue Sky.
Definitely gonna check out the all ages thing because the horror thing is really freaking me the fuck out. But I'll definitely check out your other stuff.
Good, find your line, AJ. Thank you for being here. We'll see you soon. Come back again. Let's talk.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Congrats! I can't wait to read it all.
Thank you, guys.
You bet. We'll talk to you soon later. All right. AJ Impadu, everybody, with Tales of the Shadow Man, which you can check out on tomorrow, new comic book day, Wednesday. Now, normally we go right to audience questions, but had the good fortune of bringing in an audience member right into what?
Bring an audience member.
You know, when daddy's legal. Away, when daddy's away, you invite your friends over. Please welcome out Mr. Nat Towson.
Hey!
Hello.
Look at coming from the secret lair. Look at you doing the evil pose. What's up, bro?
That's not evil. That's just Nat. That's Nat in the game
I was
right there.
Pondering. My
pondering. Yeah, that's how he thinks. He's like a young Mr. Burns.
If you're only listening to the audio of this episode, I look great.
Yes, he looks amazing.
Young
he looks
Mr.
really
Burns.
Healthy, summer tan going strong. Nat, you say you're supposed to be on a run. What does that mean?
Yeah, I was going to go on a run. But
You were going to listen to the show on your headphones as you were running.
Yeah, a lot of people, I hate to say this in front of two professional podcasters, are doing something else when they listen to you.
What? No, that's not possible.
That's cool, man.
Do just you, sort of you know to mean? Make that texture of everyday life tolerable. And
holy shit. Oh, wow. You know? Now you're really terrifying me. Nat, how are you? I literally texted you right as the show was starting. I was like, hey, man, if you're around, we're supposed to have Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor on the show tonight. If anyone was here to see them, and they had to bow out, they will be back soon. They've promised, so we'll see them soon. But I was like, Nat, if you're free, get in front of a camera.
Well, I would say based on that anecdote alone, it sounds like I'm doing pretty well. A lot going on.
Yes. A lot going on.
Available to drop of a hat. Much like Jimmy Palmiotti, I am in Brooklyn, though. So I feel like I could fill those shoes pretty well.
Yes. Good.
You know,
you don't have to fill their shoes. I was just saying that's why I've had you bail on your run to come here.
Yeah, I'm a very clear lateral move from that now, at this point, decade-spanning creative powerhouse couple. I'll tell you a Jimmy Palmiotti anecdote, which is he did one of the kindest things anyone's done for me at a con. I was running a panel. There used to be a panel that I moderated. It wasn't mine, but I got brought in as a special talent for my ability to moderate comic book club panels. And I got brought on to run the How to Succeed in Self-Publishing panel, which was a NYCC panel that ran a few times before they decided, nope.
No.
That's too far from the center of our mission, this event that thousands, presumably thousands of self-published creators come to every year. They're like, oh, we just don't have a conference room in a basement that would make space for that for 90 minutes in our four-day event. Clearly, we have a lot of priorities. But Jimmy Palmiotti was on that panel, and he was a great... He was a great panelist, and he was like, he was telling people, he was like, here's how you get the people at your local post office to help you out. And it's like, you know, it's like, you got to know your UPS guy. You got to know. And I was like, oh, he's like really, you know, because he did all these Kickstarters himself. And he gave a really good piece of advice, which was that no one will remember your Kickstarter that doesn't reach its goals, but everyone will remember your Kickstarter that reaches its goal and doesn't deliver on the rewards. And he had successfully crowdfunded through Kickstarter. I always remembered that, where it's like, oh yeah,
that's a great
embarrassment of losing is not nearly as bad as the, like, I'm still mad about the poster I didn't get in 2011 from a friend.
Oh yeah, dude,
that's genuinely great advice. That I feel like even people we have on here who've been in the industry forever don't know that all the time.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is I'm pretty sure Jimmy Palmiotti is the one on the panel who said that. So pretty good story.
Good. Really
good. I'm going to give it to him. Yeah, but you know, the reason I told you the story is that I'm telling all this is that I was at the con, I think, days later, and he saw me with a con weariness to me after four days, and he did what I was going to say is the kindest thing, which was not that advice. But he saw me, and he saw me wandering the floor, and he said, hey, come here. And he brought me behind to his booth, and I said, hey, what's up? And he said, sit down, you look tired.
Oh, that's so nice.
Sweetheart. Oh, my God.
He was right. I just sat there. I didn't talk to him. The guy was doing business. I didn't want to, like, you know, he was like, people were coming by to buy things. He was signing things. You know, someone brought him a book and traded it. But I was like, this is the nicest, like, just like,
that's
hey, here's
so
a place
nice.
You're allowed to be for 10 minutes, which is what...
Oh, what a gift.
He saved you from some horrible
thing. Dude, you could have killed over, bro.
Yeah, I needed to sit, rehydrate, You gotta work out before New York Comic Con, guys.
that's why you're running. You're getting ready for New York Comic Con.
Swap out the insoles. Exactly. I'm gonna get new shoes. I'm breaking them in a couple weeks before the con.
It's a good point, though. For all of you running while listening to the podcast right now, you're doing great.
Really great work, yes.
So proud of you. Keep it up.
And someone, Jimmy Palmad is probably standing next to you right now cheering you on as you run, I would guess. At least one person. Now, there's two things I feel like are a reason to have you on here right now. Number one, you're in our comic book club Discord.
Baseball gloves and if he's boiling them or what?
I'm sure he's going to eat some very old leather at some point this year. That's how you get strong. You got to really tenderize it. If you're join our Patreon and you're in the Comic Book Club Discord, you get to come in and chat with us. I feel like you've been a lightning rod for controversy on the Discord the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, for as little as $2 a month, you can argue with me about comic books.
Get in fights with professional comedians on our Discord.
It's true. Does Nat Towson have a deadline? Ought he be... Would the people whose job it is to represent Nat Towson's writing and acting career like to know how much time he's spending arguing about whether Superman is about Israel on a private Discord server that is in no way profitable? I don't think they would like to know that. However, for only, I think, I want to say as little as $2 a month, they could.
That's correct. You can come.
Could also do that for $2.
Yeah, this is a targeted appearance to try to get your reps to join our Discord, just so they can keep an eye on you. And I think we got them.
That's like, you know, between voiceover department, you could get 5 subs right there.
That's a 5 to 10 nice. Banger right there. But it is actually very fun. These debates, I'll like step away from Discord for a couple hours. I'm like 100+ messages logged in now. I'm like, holy shit. And I really, honestly, like... In a time when I don't get to have comic book fights with people except for in the club, it's really nice to actually see and partake.
In the club.
Yeah, I mean, I still have friends in real life, too. But I do also enjoy doing it in the Discord. I'll go to Midtown Comics and just argue with strangers.
Yeah. Argue with a stranger?
Doesn't have to yell about friends. Yeah. You know, someone else is leafing through books. You knock them out of their hands, you're like, idiot, what are you reading that for?
Yeah, that's no good. That's no good. It jumped the shark.
I've definitely seen a bunch of heated debates in Midtown Comics. It's one of the perks of going to Midtown Comics.
That's because you're there starting them. I feel like it's not something that normally...
POV, yeah.
Yeah, direct first-person shooter style.
I will give a genuine shout-out to your Discord, though, because if you are a regular Comic Book Club listener but you're not in there... I'm generally not a person who is available in online, private online spaces in particular, outside of social media or whatever. I'm not one who's big into fan communities, and generally have not, like, I'm not a big, like, the subreddit for the thing that I'm into kind of person. But as someone who does enjoy genuinely the, like, brick and mortar, like going and talking to other comic book nerds while I'm making my purchases, talking to the guy at the store who knows everything about the book that I'm buying, or going to these deep comics, I would say that it took the isolation of the pandemic for me to actually join and give it a chance. But I would say that the Comic Book Club, then Slack, now Discord, feels a lot more like that kind of, like, friendly argument where, like, we're arguing about shit, but no one's getting transphobic in the comments. Yeah. No one's saying you only like this because you're that, or no one's saying someone's too woke for black. Like, it's usually a pretty reasoned, like, the big argument we were having recently is I was saying things I didn't like about the Superman movie, a movie I liked. And I just started by saying, the movie's so good that I'm willing to hand wave all these things. However, I think that they're wrong. And other people are going, no, not even that is wrong. So it's a pretty...
Exactly. It was I love this thing more. It was a pure positivity argument, which is my favorite kind.
I have reasoned critiques of this thing that I love.
Yeah. And you are met with just some kind hand waving and hand holding.
Yeah, that's the fun thing about the Discord is you can get into kind of just people who have passions or love something and then kind of run up to somebody who's like, hit me the wrong way. So you get to kind of hear their opinions on it, which is great. I've definitely had some fun interactions where I've been like, oh, thank you. I feel more knowledgeable about a subject that I'm passionate about. So it's always helpful.
The other thing I want to ask you about, Nat, is you've been doing a solid amount of comic work lately. Can you talk about any of it right here, right now?
You mean, have I read issues 1 through 60 of Ultimate Fantastic Four in the past week?
Interesting. Yes. Okay.
Not for any good reason.
What did you mean by that question?
I did actually do that. Justin sort of alluding, I'm doing some writing that I can't really talk about right now.
You can't talk about it.
At some point, I'll come back on the show to talk about it. But right now, I am just a very enthusiastic comic book reader.
Great. Okay. Really great. Great place to be.
Great thing to be.
Yes. He says as a quiet, as a second thought.
The main premise of my adult life.
Yes, right.
I saw his show he did. It was really good.
Pete came all the way up to New York when I did my hour earlier this year, which I appreciated. It was a lot of fun. I will be doing again in New York later this year, TBD. I also did recently start, we're just piloting it this summer, but doing an outdoor show in Riverside Park, which was really fun.
That's awesome. Really?
Yeah, nice. It's right at the base of Pier I. And I was never an outdoor comedy guy. Usually I feel like I'm holding my breath until it's over. And I was like, all right, well, we'll do a big thing in the park. And it turned out I really liked it. We have like a bunch of cabaret tables near each other and then a row of seats. So it's, and then they have umbrellas, so you kind of feel like you're in a low-ceiling club. You're very close. And then there's the river behind it, which is really beautiful. The audience still felt compact. You know, it still has some of the outdoor elements. But what I really loved about it, and, you know, I suppose I should have expected more that this would be so valuable, but people came who've never seen stand-up before. It's free. People who were just in the
That's the thing about an outdoor show in New York. It's just like someone being like, what is this?
Yeah.
He's just standing up there?
Yeah, and sometimes you get people being disruptive because of that and whatever, that's part of it too. But like, I think in general, we got people who were curious and stayed. And most of the people who came from the beginning stayed. We had a huge turnout.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's fun. Riverside Comedy Club, we're doing literally one more this summer because it was just an experiment to see what it would be like. Hopefully the second one lives up to the first. August 29th, 7 p.m. in Riverside Park, Pier I. We're doing one of those.
Nice.
If you live in New York, and I don't know why I'm plugging this. It sells out without me. I'm not getting, you know.
That's the best kind of plug. Wow. Sounds like you funded your Kickstarter.
Me helping the community, actually, Justin.
Wow. Great. You really understand the plot with plugs. Yeah. Cool. That's helping out for money is called a job. Just so you know.
Yes. Well, I'm saying it's like it's community work, but I'm profiting from it personally.
Yes,
in a
right.
way that's not community. I'm also doing a show at Caveat on that's August 29th, and on September 20th, I'm doing a show called The Heat of the Moment as part of UN Climate Week. We're one of the kickoff events at the beginning of that.
That's very cool.
So if you want to see comedy in the afternoon, but indoors, 4 p.m. on September 20th, wow. Caveat, The Heat of the Moment.
You're really running the gamut from outdoor to indoor comedy.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what your time is like if you have to run, but we are about to do audience questions if you'd like to stick around.
I'd love to ask and answer audience questions.
Yes, yeah, you have to ask them also because you're part of the audience.
I'm opening another tab.
Shout out to Christopher Parker here in the comments.
KP.
Yeah. He's got his Bills logo going.
Shouts to Go Bills. But before we do that, let's move it over to our favorite section that we've just previewed called Audience Questions.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
In this section, we will answer your questions. You guys get it. Let's do it. Wow, Nat is simultaneously on the screen and in the comments. What a star. Let's see what we have here for audience questions. We can go to this one from Stanley. Gossip about Alex. Any hot goss when it comes to Alex? I mean, it's a request.
Yeah. Okay. It's tough when he's not here, you know, because Justin's got to do the Q's and stuff, you know.
Yes. No, the audience is the Q's and we do the A's. That's what we're built on. So any gossip about our friend, the quiet, calm Alex?
Oh, my God. Did you
Alex
hear about Alex? I think he's addicted to candy.
One time we went to the warehouse to buy vintage comic books together, and he almost bought a gumball machine. But then
Yo, that's very funny because that is Alex level gossip. I was looking at him like, what? Why would you want that? That speaks to the addiction Pete's talking about, because it's sort of like, it's like, oh, have your drug dealer move into your house. It's like,
yeah, well, you know
how
some people have
anymore,
like a nice liquor rack in their home, like a 60s style. I say this like I don't have one.
Yeah, well, you say nice rack a lot, and that's what you mean.
I do say in my kitchen too. I feel like that's, you know, if you don't drink, like, it's like, well, what? Well, I still want to have like the nice Victrola. I want to have the nice thing for my hobbies on display. So, like, if you're a hard candy addict, I feel like that's the like centerpiece. So that's the living room.
Yeah,
you know. That's the jukebox of candy addiction.
Truth. Hard liquor to hard candy. We got another question here. That's all the gossip we have about Alex, obviously, from Josh Sinison on Facebook. Non-spoiler first step question. Are the things on Galactus' back his tummies or his buttholes? Now, I feel like this is what people really walked away talking about from the movie. Tummy or buttholes, what do you say? These are
I haven't seen the movie.
Oh, you have it?
Oh, man.
I saw Superman twice, though, and then I went to see Shin Godzilla yesterday. So it's coming around in the queue.
Wow. That's fucked up.
I will say this. I'm more excited about this than I have been about any Marvel movie in a long time. Not excited enough to see the flick, but otherwise...
Doesn't seem like you're excited, man. It's been out for a minute.
I wasn't rushing there for opening night, if I'm being honest. But I was late to Superman. Everything's a little delayed right now for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That makes sense. Pete, tummies or buttholes?
I guess tummies.
Because he's eating through them?
Yeah. He's always eating, I guess.
Let me be honest. I think they're both.
Wow.
I think he's taking it in and putting it out.
So you think tummies on the front, buttholes on the back? Is that what you're...
No, I think he had like four ports in the back, and I think maybe one or two of them were tummies, a couple of buttholes. He's got to put some stuff out there.
Do you think
he eats the whole buffalo? He uses every piece of a planet?
You got it.
That's what I was going to ask, but I don't know if it's covered by the movie. You know? Like, when Galactus, is he like... Is he really like chomping on planets, or is he like, I'm sucking the energy out of the planet? I feel like canonically that's been represented differently over the years.
Let me put this out there, and I don't know if this is canonically correct, but I'd like to make it so. I think he eats planets and shits moons.
Wow, that's ridiculous. He better eat the whole.
Not a lot going on moons. Moons look like old planets.
If you come to my planet and then destroy it, you better eat the whole fucking thing, man. You know what I mean? Don't leave the crust.
No, he's just nibbling.
The whole fucking thing.
He's just nibbling on a couple
planets. You better take that whole thing down, bro.
Leave the mantle. It's like, come on, were you even hungry?
Yeah, exactly.
Billion-year civilization for a snack.
Once you take a bite, you know, once you lick a planet, you got to finish. It's yours. You can't put it back.
You got to save the rest for a
He's calling dibs. He's grabbing planets, licking them.
You know... You're putting that thing in a Ziploc in a freezer dimension. You know, you got to boil that down later.
Saying that the negative zone is like a fridge, a freezer for leftovers.
That's what I'm getting at. Yeah. And then when you have like enough planet rinds, like one might do with a Parmesan, you make a broth, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's always making a planet soup with like the bones of all other planets. I'm going to take the core of this. Really good. I love it. It's like bone marrow for planets.
We're giving this away for free. This is going to be a what if so soon. Justin,
Nat, do you have anything on your nerd wall that you're proud of that you want to share with us?
Oh, not really. I just kind of want attention.
You want more attention? You're literally on the show asking. We do have one question I want to get to real quick from Nat Towson. What's your favorite Loa?
Oh, that was supposed to be Lois.
Here's the S.
We found the S in the Discord. What's your favorite Lois Lane?
Ooh, what's your favorite Lois?
Depiction in any media, but you know, obviously, comic story.
Is the Lois from the comic strip High and Lois? Is that Lois Lane as well?
Does Family Guy count or no?
Sisters with the same first name. It's uncommon.
It's very uncommon. To do that with my kids eventually. Change their names so they're the same.
Yeah, the three of them are sisters, but they have different last names.
The favorite Lois, I mean, it's a... That's a tough, because
yeah, I gotta go Christopher Reeves. That's my favorite Lois.
Your favorite Lois is Christopher Reeve? Controversial answer. Never played Lois.
He had range.
Lois
though,
and
he could have done it all.
Reeves Superman.
You wanted a one man Superman where Christopher Reeve plays all the roles.
All the roles.
You're talking about Margot Kidder, original movie Lois.
I think an adaptation. That's got to be my favorite too. And I think that other adaptations have given her more to do as a journalist, but I think that characterization is my favorite.
Yes. I mean, it's sad to say that my first thought was Terry Hatcher.
Oh, look at you.
When you see Lois in the quote unquote real life, that's who I think of. I don't know. Maybe I'm poisoned by my time, the time when I was born.
I used to watch that show, especially when I was like homesick from school or something. Mm-hmm. I feel like that show was on. That had a good 2 p.m. syndication run.
Yeah. It was also on at night when it came out. You didn't watch it first run?
I think I started it after it. Like, I think I watched the first few episodes because I was really excited about it. And then I like got into it. You know, you couldn't just binge from the beginning. So I was like seeing it as it was coming out. But I think it had syndication at a point where you could just, you turn on the TV in the middle of the day, Law and Order. Now Superman's got red kryptonite or something. So he's gay or whatever. They did something. Yeah.
The TV show is pretty loose with adapting the comic book canon.
I mean, and in certain ways, we're right now we would be like, oh, don't do like we're
yeah, don't do that. But, that's true of almost everything on that show, except for Terry Hatcher, maybe. Animated series Lois is getting a lot of love. Waterbug Stanley, yeah. I agree. Very good. Jumping into some other questions, I'd like to take Nat's secret quiz.
Okay, what do we got? I will have that prepared by my next appearance on the show. But luckily, that wasn't great. How you get you. You're wrong. That's not how you unlock it, though. So,
interesting.
You have to say something else.
It's the opposite.
This is a previous question. One thing off the nerve wall. I don't collect Funko Pops or anything like this, but I won this at New York Comic Con on last year because they had the Spider-Man cosplayers parade where you all go.
Langston gave that to you, right?
Langston Belton, our dear friend of the show, was hosting this thing, and I got up there dressed as, of course, the amazing Bagman from the issue of Amazing Spider-Man where he first discovers, Reed Richards first discovers that the symbiote suit is alive and affecting Peter Parker and insists that he do more tests on it, so Peter has to go home without his costume and borrows a Fantastic Four costume, and then Johnny Storm puts a bag on his head and a kick me sign on his back. And I got in line at the Marvel booth at New York Comic Con amongst a bunch of people dressed as Spider-Man, including...
Who put some time into their outfits.
Oh, like homemade, full-body Spider-Man outfits. Mine is literally a Fantastic Four t-shirt with a longer shirt under it to give the impression of a long shirt. Blue chinos. White belt.
Blue chinos, nice very rare. Rare chino to own.
And a shopping bag, right? And I get in this line, and I'm calming down the 15-year-old PS2 Spider-Man cosplayer in front of me who's never been on stage before. I'm like, it's going to be great. You're going to have fun. Nice. Here's what you're going to do. You get two poses. Just talk them through it. It's hard. It's scary if you've never been on stage before.
That's good.
And I get in this line, and a woman with no costume and a clipboard and a Marvel shirt has to, like, take me aside. And bear in mind, I am wearing a shopping bag on my head with just holes in the front, so no peripheral vision. So this woman has been trying to get my attention from about 100 degrees and is slowly getting closer to in front of me to where she's like within 5 degrees, she can finally see my eyes. And she's like, sir, this is for Spider-Man cosplayers only. Like, the regular Marvel thing is tomorrow.
Oh, man. And you had to flex.
And I had to say to a fellow adult in her 30s, who's just trying to do her job, no, I'm the amazing Bagman from the issue where Reed Richards discovers that the symbiote is alive and won't let Peter Parker take it home with him, and then Johnny Storm gives him his old costume and a kick me sign in a shopping bag.
They were like, get this guy a toy and get him out of here. He's trouble. He is
so
a problem.
Disappointed in me. Just like, yes. Okay. Yeah, you're technically right. All right, you're going to get a photo on stage. And they gave me a Spider-Man bobblehead doll, and I'll always have that memory.
That's good. Well, and now we have it as well. Yeah. Question from Shrekler. What are your favorite online series that we might not know about? Online series, I guess that could mean anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, like in a way, like a blog is an online series of pieces of text. I guess yes, the internet exactly. is kind of one big on. Is this the kind of answer he wanted, do you think? Probably.
Definitely. Probably. He wanted us to lightly make fun of the question.
How about the original Video Game High School? Go back and watch Video Game High School from Rock.
Oh, man.
Web series on YouTube from like 11 years ago. The reason I'm saying this is because those guys, they run one of my favorite screenwriting podcasts of all time that's also long gone. And those guys were like, at the end of their podcast, they're like, we're not doing Rocket Jump anymore. Also, we can't do this podcast. We're kind of getting started on this movie idea that we had. We always wanted to do a feature, and they stopped putting it out, and then they didn't post anything. And then I got a notification on my phone like 2 months ago that was like, all right, here's the trailer for our first feature after a 6-year silence. And I was still subscribed. So I don't know. Go see if that's still good.
That's cool. I mean, I watched all that stuff because I worked on something with those guys years ago, and I can't even remember what it was, but I watched all of Video Game High School, and it was good.
It's funny. I like it. It's well made. Those
it's pretty
guys
funny.
Love movies, and you can yes. really tell in everything they make, and I'm excited for their movie. Don't remember the name of it, but I am excited for it.
Great. Really great. Important question from Michael Tillman. Are all buttholes tummies, but not all tummies are buttholes?
Wow.
Is there a button to not see everyone's questions? Or your the interface?
Oh, like a hide it? Question?
Or no, just like no, don't even show it in the first place? Like a
You can't unask a question, right? Nat. You right. can't unask a question.
To get to the next one, we had to like pull the big lever.
Edward Doherty with
working for me.
You do look young, I will say, Ned. You have a fresh face. You've clearly been.
Is that it?
Yes.
Oh, now I don't look like Alex Zeldin.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. You're going the wrong way if you're trying to not be Alex's son. Yeah, I think those are the same shape of Alex's glasses. So you are hitting all of the marks.
A second generation version.
Yes, exactly.
Slimmer, wider. Yeah.
You are the Peter Parker Bagman of the Zalbin family.
Ooh, nice.
Let's jump to this question from Stanley. Any thoughts on Alien Earth? Do you think the franchise has too slow of a pace?
Ooh.
Have either of you watched Alien Earth?
No. Alex is the one.
Not derisively. I just have not gotten to it.
I have watched it, and I love it. I think it's great. If you're a fan of any of Noah Hawley's shows, from Fargo to all the way back to Legion, this is a great combination of that sort of prestige TV idea blend with, like, pretty legit alien canon stuff. So I'm really enjoying it. And the pace is slower. I think the pace of the TV show is faster, and there's a lot going on. I'm rewatching Alien. Oh, good. We've got an aw geez in here from that.
Oh,
geez. Good. It's better to hear it. I've been rewatching Alien last night after I watched Alien Earth, and the pace is slow, but it's like cool. It's slow and cool, so that's okay.
Oh, okay.
Everything used to be slower. Yeah.
Legion, I feel like, is a show where like I just forget about when people are like, what's your favorite superhero movie? I'm like, oh, Spider-Man 2 or whatever. You know, I have my go-tos. And then I'll be talking about the TV shows, and I kind of forget that it exists. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, no, there's that one show that's like 11 times better than anything I've ever seen anyone else do with a superhero. Like, what? Maybe you could argue the only one that's art. Anyway, I also like Daredevil.
Wow.
I don't know. Wow. It's just like
Legion
it's one of the only
great,
ones
though.
Where like I wasn't a huge comic book nerd. I'd be like, this is a very good TV show, like on its own. Like I love so many comic book TV shows, but I feel like that's one. It's trying. I haven't seen anything try anything like that.
Plus,
yeah, it's doing way more.
Is phenomenal in it.
Oh, of incredible course. Performances supporting already really like thoughtful. Can't take your eyes away from it for a second, or you'll miss it. Which is like. We're so trained for things to be dialogue-based and you don't even have to look at what's happening, where it's like Legion's the opposite, where it's like, put your fork down. Yeah. You can't look at your plate right now. No eating during the show.
Yeah, truly. There's so much going on. The cast is unbelievable. I think the cast in Alien Earth is also excellent. The main, one of the main characters, I guess I should say, we were talking about this in the Comic Book Club Discord as well. She's the daughter of Kyle Chandler. She
Friends?
Didn't...
Chandler nope. from Friends?
No. Oh man, I have so much to explain to you. Clear eyes, full hearts. Can you be any more can't lose?
Okay, that was.
Is that what we're talking really about? Is that
Parker
the best?
Lewis can't lose.
On the, that was Thank a pretty you. Good synergy on the fly, Justin. I'm not
Thank you, Nat. Thank
I'm,
you,
I'm
Nat.
Struggling to think of a second thing Kyle Chandler said, and I got
yes. You there's nothing. I mean, he said a lot, but there's a memory attached with that one, a culture memory. Anyway, she's the lead. She didn't show up to the photo shoot for the big Hollywood Reporter expo on it. And there's an interesting article if you care about sort of this show and the story behind it. Definitely worth reading. But anyway, I would say check that out. Edward Doherty says everyone forgets about the cape too. That is true. People don't talk. There are a lot of pre sort of MCU superhero shows that are wild. Remember Mantis?
Oh, wow.
No.
Yeah. Mantis, barely. Yeah.
Oh, you're talking Mantis about powers on the PlayStation Network?
See, that's another deep cut. That's one that I feel that came out in Prestige TV era, and we all culturally missed it, sort of, I feel like.
I think we got cutscene era filmmaking on that one, is what happened.
Yes. The budget was
low.
That
show is like what the... It's what The Boys eventually did right. And I'm not even like in love with The Boys, but I feel like Powers was trying to strike that tone.
Yes.
Let's get a bunch of British and Australian actors and make them have American accents. And also, let's like do a gritty superhero thing where they die and some people hate that they have power. In many ways, it's a really similar premise, more in the shows than the comics that they're based on. But I feel like it could have gotten The Boys treatment, but it was just like a little too early for anyone to know how to like do that. Nah. Also, they say the word power so much on a show called Powers.
It is too much. You're 100% about that. And in the comic. Eric MC High has a comment that would have been hugely controversial like 30 years ago. Parker Lewis is a better show than the Ferris Bueller TV show. Agreed. But nobody knows about those things anymore except for
dude, that jacket where you could just pull everything. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, great, I mean, that was conversation at the hip surgery clinic waiting room.
Can't wait, gang. We're like, 10 years away from meeting up there? See you at our colostomy bag fittings.
We'll all be in the same old folks' home. It'll be a blast. Come on.
Oof, that's going to have to be a big home.
All right, and we should start researching it. MCU start to finish rewatch as everyone's sitting down.
I never got up, says I.
Wait,
that's it.
Sorry.
Are we podcasting this? Yes. These mics have been off for 20 years. Oh, folks, boy. That's all we have for audience questions. And let's move it on over to a section that we continue to do, despite the fact that there's too much of trivia happening in our show. It is trivia.
What do you think?
We're over
trivia? Is that what? Ooh, look at that.
Did you steal that?
UCB yeah. clock? Did you steal that?
Yeah, I stole it.
I stole it.
How dare you?
Clock from UCB East. That's a picture
of course it is.
I did not put it
there. The beast.
This was hanging on the wall of UCB East for many years during a period.
Wait, Justin, can you verify that? Do you recognize that clock?
Oh, I know that clock.
Okay, good.
That's a clock I used to look at, and now I'm looking at it again.
A number of. I can have one more drink. It's not that late.
Yes. I've looked at that clock in a panic at 1:58 and been like, oh, shit, what part do we go to now? And I always knew the answer.
How did we end up here again? Yeah.
Remember when we stayed out till 4 a.m. every bed. Friday night?
Well, for a while, we had a show that started at midnight. So we were like, all right, it's 1:15. Time to start hanging out, everyone.
Yes, exactly. Let's
have some real fun. As we exhausted our bar and went to the next one.
Oh,
we always find that new bar. If you want to play some trivia, raise your hand. I think we have David Quinley in the comments with a I'll do it.
All David? Right. Justin, are you ready for, because Alex is not here, the extra trivia that we put in the D answers here?
Oh, yes. I forgot this. Why don't we make Nat do something since he's here?
Yeah. And I know what that thing is, or I'll find out on the fly.
I believe it was I had to answer in character. Is that correct? Yeah,
that is correct, yes.
Okay. As Alex.
You had to give a hint.
Oh, do you want to? We can do a D where it'll be a Fauna Zalbin and a Nat will be the little Zalbin. So it'll be your impersonation of.
So to Zalbin, be clear, there's a fourth option to each question in which Alex answers, but it's actually.
And you're offering the Lil Zalbin take.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so it's not quite Fauna what Alex Zalbin. Would say. It's sort of like a we got a chibi Alex.
And David Quinley is doing the trivia? Is that what we decided? Okay, Quinley, get ready. Here we go.
Not hard to understand at all.
Yeah, this is super easy to understand. Come on, man. Today's trivia is about the comic Escape and a small nod to the legend Malcolm Jamal Warner, R.I.P. Theo Huxtable.
Wow.
All right, please listen to all four options before making your selection. In honor of Zalbs not being here, you can phone a little Zalbin. And little Zalbin will answer as little Zalbin. Okay, here we go. Question number one.
Is that good?
Good.
Great job. Killing it.
I'm doing a little big sticker face for the
That was very heavy on the Lil.
Did I do that?
Yeah, it's good.
All right. Here we go. Question number one. Who are the bad guys in this epic tale? Is it A, Bats? B, not a hangman. Geez, no, I need a hamman. Sorry, D. Or C, Danny Heyman. Or do you want to phone a little Zalbin?
The fuck?
Right. And that's what you say, what Zalbin would say? Is that right?
Or, no, yeah, I have to wait for them to give me that option.
Yeah, you've got to wait for David Quinley to answer this. And hopefully he's still listening and paying attention.
Edward has the comment. Nah, just talk about the sexy, how sexy the characters referenced in the trivia are, regardless of who the characters are. That's good.
Do you think that's Zalbin Corn? What the question was about?
David says A, and he is correct.
He does not take the little Zalbin.
Doesn't take the little Zalbin. Let's see if he does the second one.
Shucks!
Killing it, little Zalbin. Killing it. Who
I
put out this?
A lot of Zalbin characteristics. Yeah, he's mostly just generic. Like
you've seen the show for years, you know him on a personal level. I mean, you should be able to snap into little Zalbin like nobody's business.
Sorry, shucks, Cornell.
There we go. Nice there job. It is. I believed Alex was here for a minute. Okay, question number two: who put out this epic war comic? Is it A, Image? B, tell me this: do people actually get the small ham? C, Lexi Big Ham? Or C, phone a little Zalbin.
D, phone a little Zalbin. And it's Lil Zalbin, please.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. David Quinley. Lil Zalby?
Lil Zalby.
Lil Zalby.
Yeah, just throwing it out there. Is he asking for my help?
I'm hanging on. I can't wait for David here. This is exciting. Oh, he said A! Oh, he's correct, though. He is correct. Here we go. Last one. Hopefully he'll phone a little Zalbies.
You gotta get a Zalbies in here.
This is all for something.
What is the cool fact about our characters in this great comic? Is it A, they are all anthropomorphic animals? B, tell me this, JB, where can I get the good ham? C, John Badham? Or, of course, D, phone a little Zalbies.
Phone a little Zalbies. I mean, it's funny to know the answer, but not know why. Yes, Edward Doherty, I'm Alex. I like Dazzler. That's
Dazzler. I hope I can decipher this question.
Whoa! Now you're killing it. Now you're killing it.
But I think a little Zalbin would say, I'm Alex. I like Dazzler.
Oh!
I like Dazzler. I can't really do cipher.
Stanley is saying, phone a little Zalbies.
I'm not done. Yo, phone a little Zalbies. I will, Alex. I went to Cornell Kindergarten.
Cornell.
I like Dazzler. John Badham. He said, one of my favorite.
I would like to buy your vaguely pornographic comic book.
wait, hang on. I'll do a classic transition. John Badham, one of my favorite hams. What else is one of my favorite hams? Anthropomorphic animals. A.
Yay! It's correct. A is correct. Well done.
Very good.
Album transition.
Yes, there very good. Go. I mean, and that's the most
episode for new listeners.
That's the most. Yeah, no, that's true of all of them.
Oh,
sure. Got me. Schuykler is picking out. David, you have won trivia. Send us an email at comicbookclublive at gmail.com, and we will send you that $25 gift card for Midtown Comics, where you can buy comics because that's fun. Pete has hidden a movie, not that cleverly, since Schuykler has already sussed it out. Yeah. Please tell us what that hidden movie that Malcolm Jamal Warner started.
We're talking about the 1994 thriller Drop Zone. Come on.
Drop Zone. Really nice. Wesley never heard
Snipes,
of that movie.
Come on. Dude, Wesley Snipes. Come on.
Okay. I don't know. I just never watched the movie Drop Zone. Not a great title, I would say, for a movie.
Oh.
I like Ninja Turtles. I like doing Lil Zalbin voice. I think that this.
Have we considered Comic Book Club Babies? Where all
nice. Well,
very close.
One week,
dude, Muppet Babies was
don't
a banger.
Tell the guests it's going to happen. All three of you babies the entire episode. Well, like knee socks level. Maybe not babies, but you're like three little stinkers.
Yeah, we're all stinkers.
Hour and a half episode, all three of you. And if one of you breaks character, the other one, you kill their video feed until they're willing to take this industry seriously.
100%. I kill the feed by accident all the time, so it's totally cool. You know what, tomorrow, speaking of totally cool, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day.
Yeah,
and you know that
cool.
means, you know that means we're going to be out there.
Cheese steak.
That's right. We're going to be out there.
Cheese steak.
That's for Edward Doherty. We'll be out there picking up some new comics. What are you guys looking forward to from comics that come out tomorrow?
I'm looking forward to Absolute Batman number 11. I mean, it's been over-the-top glorious fun, and I can't wait for this next issue. Escape number 1, as I mentioned in trivia, is glorious and really impressive, so look forward to talking more about that. And then The Seasons number 7. Come on, man. Remender what?
Well, you took what I was going to say, because we have a double Remender Wednesday coming out with Escape number 1
yes.
and Seasons number 7, and that's very exciting for our new Comic Book Day tomorrow. These Seasons, is my favorite Rick Remender release from the last couple of years. Escape looks amazing. Very
yes,
excited
it does.
To see what that's going to be like in practice. Let's see. Marvel All on One, number 1. Ryan North, Ed McGuinness. Curious about that. Focusing on the Thing. Looks like a fun one. Nat, do you have any? Oh, and of course, Black Cat, number 1, by G. Willow
Oh,
Wilson.
How could you
get my
even...
girl?
Yeah,
get
geez.
My girl out there. Nat,
hey,
do you have anything?
Covered it so thoroughly, I have
yes.
to say. I mean, I'll be completely honest. The only series I'm reading that's coming out next week is... I was going to say Absolute Batman, which is, you know, at this point, one of the ones where it's not an original opinion to say, wow, what a fresh new take. But I was very skeptical about the whole Absolute line from the beginning. DC's done enough gritty reboots to last a lifetime, and I feel like it isn't that, or it is that, but done to a finally, both more thoughtful, but sort of fully unleashed. Like, I don't care that this Batman's too ridiculous. That's the point. Whereas
yes.
in previous iterations, I'm like, okay, so someone thinks they're edgy, someone thinks they're cool, and then I look at this, I'm like, it is pretty, it's pretty cool, you know?
I agree with you. It really feels like it's an unleashed, like everything, even the most like intense takes, like feel like there's still the leash there of continuity, and this one feels like, no, we can do whatever. And they
yeah,
are doing it
Yeah, there's not a
both.
Lot of like, Batman doesn't do that. It's like, no, this is what a guy named Batman could be. And we're using elements
yeah.
from the other story, but it doesn't. And I've delved into the others less, but I feel like Superman is a similar in some way an updated take that makes more sense. And in some ways, this is a different character with a different backstory, and it's just a good and interesting story. And then Martian Manhunter is, I would say, a step even farther into the abstract that I'm really enjoying. And I am excited to see. I got one other one. Superman Unlimited number 4. I
had a little Dan Slott for you.
Dan Slott, yeah, Dan Slott of Superman. I thought, you know, his first issue is largely a recap. I'm interested to see what he does. He is kind of a guy who gets on a book and he needs to have like his thing that's never been done before that'll then play out over a long period of time. So I thought it was like such an interesting like synthesized back to basics, beginning of the continuity, and then the end of that first issue, he's like, however, something's changed very severely. And I think at this point, I hope that we're past the period of getting angry. Generally, I'm like, well, I look forward to 3 years from now when someone has to do a big hand wave where this situation stops being the case, because I don't think it's permanent. But I think it's also fine to be like, hey, in the dome of, like, for a little while, this is how things work in Superman. And that's like a fun, like, you know, premise to explore. I'm being very, I don't want to spoil the beginning of the series.
Yeah, no, I think that's very fair to do.
A big thing and changes.
Yeah. But I think that's a good use of slots power of like make some changes, but also keep a lot of other things going, but then slowly let that change become a more important part of the story. Before we let you go, though, tonight, we have to talk about an important part of our story, and that is our sponsor, DrawerBox Storage System.
Yes.
They just celebrated their 20th anniversary. They're made in three sizes. You can get long comic DrawerBox, 26 inches, short comic DrawerBox, 18 inches.
Cardboard boxes, get the upgrade to DrawerBox because it's just a sturdier box. It's stackable. It comes in different sizes. Plus, it's got the dividers, so keep everything where you need it.
Yes.
So nothing takes
organization.
Over. Yeah,
look at
a bunch of random cardboard boxes on your floor instead.
This guy needs an upgrade.
Yeah, he needs an upgrade.
There's got to be a better way.
There is not.
Can you lift that up and have it spill out all over your body and
no,
almost kill
it.
You?
Don't. You ruin. Don't ruin the. Yeah, come on, man. Don't.
Because here's the thing, that box that Matt has right there holds what? Like maybe 200 comics max, not even probably.
No.
The short boxes by DrawerBox hold 145 comics with boards and bags more than any other short box. So that's they're going to hold way more. The longs hold 235 with boards and bags, 270 without. That is maximizing your space. Definitely check them out and tell them that Comic Book Club sent you because we did. Advertising legend Nat Dowson says,
sorry, Stanley, Zelbin will not be back for this deck, bro.
Wow, really spoiling so much of the future. But speaking of the future, let's talk about who we have coming out coming up next week. We have Louis LaRosa talking about Carbon Base, the art of Louis LaRosa. That's going to be fun. And Ben Morrow talking about Huxley. You can check us out in so many other places, which is this. Comic Book Club News, Sons of a Gun.
Comic Book Club Live?
Yes, join our Patreon at patreon.com/comicbookclub. Subscribe on all the places. Check us out on Blue Sky, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, comicbookclublive.com. We will be back next week. Thank you so much, folks. Good, and thank you to Nat. Thank you to AJ for being here talking about Tales of Shadow Man. Of course, Nat Towson for jumping in.
Hey,
we'll see you next week, folks.
Take care of yourself out there.
Have a great one.
Come hang out with us on Discord.
We'll be on Discord. Meet us there.
Promise.